Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, the Word of God says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock." I think as believers, this is one of our greatest fears. And he says, "Fear not, little flock." How often as believers are we afraid that we will miss the things of the kingdom? And we're very careful and concerned. And that's fine. But I cannot be too afraid that I will miss the things of the kingdom. Because God says that He will give me the kingdom and it's His good pleasure to do so. In the leading of God, I have to be aware of something. It's God's good pleasure to lead me. It's not like I have to wrestle with Him too much to get something from Him. I simply bring my petition before Him and He answers. And all the things that are the kingdom, it is His desire to give to me as a believer. It pleases Him, it makes Him happy to give me the things of the kingdom. But if I fear, then I'll bring myself to the point where I won't receive the things of the kingdom. Because if I fear, I will make decisions outside of the love of God, of the character of God, of the leading of God. Why? Because what happens to us is we are afraid that we will somehow miss out sometimes. Whether it's in this direction or that one. We are afraid that somehow we will miss out. For example, in Bible college, certain ones are afraid that if they don't go on the mission field in a foreign country, that they will miss out. On the other hand, certain ones are afraid that if they do go on the mission field in a foreign country, they will miss out. And it's very possible for me to start trying to order my steps in fear of missing out. But the Word of God here says, "Fear not, little flock." There's something that I particularly appreciate about the Gospels. As wonderful as Paul or Peter or John or these men were, as much as we value the things that they have written from the Holy Spirit for us, there's a certain intimacy about the things that Christ has said. When I particularly like to read the Gospels, because I want to know what the Savior was saying to men who could see Him. And one of the things that He felt was very important to say is, "Fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid." I'm paraphrasing now. "Don't be afraid. You won't miss the boat. Don't be afraid. My call won't get away from you. Don't be afraid. If you've acknowledged the Lord, you won't make wrong decisions. Don't be afraid." I think it's very easy for us to become afraid. But remember something. Fear was that which caused the fall. So don't be afraid. You're not going to miss God's plan for your life. You won't miss His provisions so long as your heart desires Him. So fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And all the things that we do, and all the messages we may hear, it's very important that I do one thing first and foremost. Whatever I do, whatever I hear, put the heart of God in front of it. Let the heart of God be your filter. Because if you are not hearing with the heart of God, then you are actually not hearing at all. If you don't have the heart of God in your circumstance, then you don't grasp the circumstance. So whatever you do and wherever you go, put the heart of God in front of you. And the heart of God, one of the things it has told us is, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Like, always dwell on the heart of God. I heard someone who I respect a great deal recently say this. They said the love of God does not submit to doctrine. Doctrine submits to the love of God. But I was thinking about that statement, and that is true, but only to a certain measure. You see, if the doctrine is pure in my heart, it will bring me to the love of God. So what that person was really referring to was a legalistic application. That the doctrine that I receive, I not only mix faith with what I hear, I mix the heart of God with it. Because apart from mixing the heart of God with what I hear, it won't energize me. Remember something. Like, let's put these thoughts together for a minute. Faith comes by hearing. Mix faith with what you hear, and faith works by love. Let's put those things together for a moment. If I don't mix faith with the love of God, and the love of God with what I hear, and if I don't put all three of those into the pot, what I have is something that may give me a belief, but will give me no energy in that belief. There's no quickening apart from the love of God. This is why I always mix faith with the heart of God. This is why I always mix what I hear with the heart of God. Because apart from doing that, it is not energized whereby it can sustain me. Why? Because I may believe that God is able, but if I don't believe His heart towards me, then I will also become very frustrated if it doesn't happen right away. Because then I will think to myself, God is able, but He's not willing. And that gives me a very unkind God. But this is not who He is. God is the God who said something and then will do it. God is the God who said, for example, in Jeremiah 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I will draw you. This is not a God who's going to torment me. This is not a God who's going to be ambiguous with me. He'll be extraordinarily patient, and sometimes He'll ask me to be the same. For His perfect timing, for His perfect blessing. Do you see the difference? Mix everything with the heart of God. Mix everything with the heart of God. In 1 John chapter 4, the Word of God says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Did you have this? Hey, this is not a theology. This is life. Do you have this? Have you known and believed the love that God has towards you? I can guarantee you one thing. If you are afraid, you haven't quite gotten it yet. Have you known and believed the love that God has toward you? Think about it just for a moment. The one who was capable of creating the universe with a thought and a word. Like, if you have any grasp of science at all, this is a mind-numbing thought. That God had the creativity and the ability and the power and the wisdom to put it together, and He did it by speaking. Hey, do you believe what Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 8 say? That when you pray, that your prayers are actually inhaled by God. And they intermingle with His breath. And they enter into His body as He is breathing them in. Do you believe that that is the value of your prayer? We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. There's His heart. That's it right there. God is love. If you can take the whole Bible, you could express it in these three words. God is love. Do you believe that? It is easy for me to say I believe it when I'm not being tested. When all is well, God is love. But what about when all is not well? Is He still love? What about the times that everything seems impossible and nothing is going your way? Is He still love? What about the times when you get ill or something terrible happens, a tragedy strikes? Is He still love? Have you known and believed it then? Or what about the times when you're doing so well and everything is so perfect and you've got 1,000 friends everywhere? Have you forgotten that God is love? You see, it's very easy in those times to enter into party spirits, where I have forgotten that He is love, unless you are someone I like. Have you remembered, have you known, and have you believed that God is love? And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, this is a pretty serious statement what John is making. We often, and rightfully so, think about it in very edifying terms, and we should, and this is edifying. It's not intended in another way. But, like, let's also appreciate the gravity here. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the judgment, because as he is, so are we in this present world. Now, why do things happen that are so difficult sometimes? So that as He is, we will be in this present world. That the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts. Why does God bring situations, people are such a big one. Isn't it like everything in our lives revolves around relationships? Do you know why? that the love of God may be shed abroad. So that the love of God may glorify and transform and soothe and heal. When you hear something, hear it with the love of God. Let's say that somebody blows up at you and says very unkind things or does very unkind things. Hear it with the love of God. Hear it with the heart of God. Because if I'm not hearing with the heart of God, I'm not hearing at all. Hear it with the heart of God. Like, see the need rather than the problem. The problem may be somebody is out of line, but the need is in the soul. The need is in the soul. Do you understand? Let me ask you a question. What do you want? What do you want? Like in all things, like even tonight, when you came, why did you come here? What did you want? I don't know about you, but I want the heart of God. I'm not interested in anything else. If it's something apart from the heart of God, keep it. I don't want your gift. Keep it. I want the heart of God. People often want something different. People often want some kind of satisfaction. You can keep your satisfaction. I'll take the heart of God. Because that heart will sustain me. And that heart will take care of me. And even if everyone leaves, the heart of God will not. The only thing that is really faithful is the heart of God. So make up your mind what you want. You guys are young for the most part. Make up your minds early. If I have the heart of God, I won't be afraid to trust Him. If I have the heart of God, I won't be worried. If I have the heart of God, I won't doubt. So what do you want? What do you want? Do you want the world, or do you want maybe some elements of it? I don't want the world, but I sure do like their music. I don't like the world, but I do like their entertainment. I don't want the world, but I like their fashions. You can have it. I want that which is of God. Bottom line. And if it's not of God, don't give it to me. I don't want it. Why? Because it has no value. It just consumes. But if it is of God, then I don't much care if it is difficult or easy. If it is of God, I don't need the ability to understand or have sight. If it is of God, I don't need my natural thinking to figure it out. If it is of God, I don't need to know how it's all going to end up. All I really need to know is that it's the heart of God. And that's the bottom line. Hey, you know what? You're thinking about possible college or possible what happens after college. How many people leave Bible college, for example, and they leave their calling. And while they were in Bible college, because they had a rich input of the Word of God and fellowship with other believers and a large measure of protection, it was a safe place to be. But once they leave Bible college, and it's not just students leaving Bible college, it's all kinds of unknown pastors who have done this. They left that which was of God because there was something else that got their attention. Hey guys, fear is a killer. Let me put it very plainly. Never be afraid. The only thing I am afraid of, he said it well, it's almost a cliche, but he was right. The only thing I'm afraid of is fear. Because that's why Adam fell. It was fear. When did the fall come? What was the fall? The fall was separation from God. When did separation from God come? When they ate of the fruit? No. When they hid themselves. That's when they became separated. When they hid themselves. Adam hid himself and he said, I was afraid. That was the fall. If they didn't hide themselves, nothing would have happened. But they did hide themselves. And now they were separated. Fear. What were they afraid of? First, they were afraid that God was going to take something from them. Then they were afraid of God. Never be afraid. This is why perfect love casts out fear. Because perfect love went after them. By the way, fear casts out perfect love. Never be afraid. Fear was Satan's answer to the love of God. Fear is contrary to the heart of God. Never be afraid. And if God gives you a promise or you have a prayer, if God gives you a rhema, you trust Him. You trust Him. Why? Because it was God who gave it. You trust Him. God doesn't change His mind. He won't give you one thing today and another thing tomorrow. So don't you ever be afraid. You be bold as bullets. Because you've got God on your side. And if you are facing the unknown, or you are facing circumstances, you don't know your way in them, or like some of you with college and different things, you're facing decisions and you don't know the answer quite, don't you be afraid. Because He said, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And He said, acknowledge Him in all thy ways and He will direct your paths. Don't you be afraid. Don't you be afraid. When God gives, He gives. He doesn't give and take away. He just gives. And if He ever does remove something from your life, it's because He wanted to give you something greater. He gives. He gives according to His promises. And He gives according to His character. And He gives according to His mercy. And He gives according to grace. He always gives. You get sick, don't be afraid. I mean, really, what's the worst that's going to happen? Right? What is the worst? You know, we have this temporal mindset whereby time is our issue and the world is our home. But that's a deceived mindset. If a person gets sick, what's the worst that's going to happen? If they're born again. Well, let me think. Mansion, streets of gold, trees of life, face to face with God, joy and peace that pass all understanding, a body that feels phenomenal, health, youth, vigor, never tired, never alone, never sad or discouraged. What's the worst that's going to happen? And you know what? Even if you're healthy as a horse, till you live to be 120, you're still going home. So what's the worst that's going to happen? I find it interesting, the more time goes by, the more I think about what it'll be like at home. And I'm not that old. But you know what? I'm looking forward to it. Because out here, this isn't where I live. This is where I dwell. But I already live in the heavenlies. You know, the world and the things of the world are losing so much interest so fast. Hey, I don't care. I don't care what you think. And I don't care who likes what. It's funny how it happens sometimes. You know, we've had these attacks lately. I'm glad. They don't feel great. Who cares? But I'm to the point, and this is an interesting place to be, because when you get attacked, you draw near to the heart of God. But I don't give a hooey what you think of me. I'm much more interested in God than in anybody's opinion of who I am, what I do, or anything else about me. Why? Because I have a Savior. And He loves me. I don't care whether you like me or don't like me, trust me or don't trust me, whatever. Think I'm a good guy or think I'm a lousy guy. I don't care. As a matter of fact, nothing could be less important to me. Because I have a Savior who loves me. And He will be true. And He will be faithful. And He will take care of all my needs. And He will provide for me. So if somebody says, you're this, you're that, I don't care. If it makes you feel good, knock yourself out. Because I don't care. I have a Savior. My wife used to torment her sisters when she was a kid. And they didn't like her because of it. And she always says, I didn't care if they didn't like me. My mom loves me. But you know what? I kind of feel the same way. I don't care who thinks what. My Savior loves me. And He doesn't think ill of me. And He knows my heart. And if somebody wants to judge that heart, well, God will judge between me and you. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll come out on top. You see, the heart of God is a place of great confidence. The heart of God is a place of great comfort. Like, if they can attack us, they can say anything they want. Who cares? God's going to be faithful. All they're doing is poking God in the eye. Okay, so they're ticking God off. Who cares? God's going to be faithful. And if somebody has an issue with me, oh, you know what? It's between you and God. And before God, I can say that I've done it as well as I can. And if I can say that before God, then who cares? It's interesting, you encounter certain situations. People trust, don't trust, like, don't like, agree, don't agree. Who cares? It's like these people who attack, I just want to just say to them, I don't really care. Don't you get it? I don't really care. Because God loves me. So why would I care what you think? Because God loves me. If you want to do that, knock yourself out. God loves me. And then God will judge between us. It gets easier and easier to simply tell them the way it is. And sometimes people like it and sometimes people don't. But you know what? Apart from watching for their capacities, I don't much care. Why? Because the Savior has thoughts. Right? The one who created me has thoughts. And I love people the best I can. If they don't want to love me back, I don't care. My Savior loves me. You get what I'm saying? It doesn't really matter when you know that you're loved by God. Like, what is your detail that is so enormous? It really doesn't matter when you know that you're loved by God. And if God loves me, and nothing else is a problem. Want to attack? Want to criticize? Want to doubt? Mistrust? What do people do? Get negative? Knock yourself out. Enjoy your carnality. My Savior loves me. Circumstances rough at school or at work. Enjoy whatever. My Savior loves me. And He'll take care of it. Whatever it is, He'll take care of it. Hey, maybe I'm a train wreck, but I'm God's train wreck. He'll take care of it. So don't worry about stuff. Just trust God, and He'll take care of it. And this relationship garbage people worry so much about, stop fretting. You know what it really like? Young people wanting to get married yesterday. You know what that's all about? My emotions have a need and they think you're going to fulfill them. Young girls going after guys who are ungodly. How often does that happen? I work in a high school. It happens all the time. They think that that little sucker is going to fulfill their emotions. Good luck. Young guys who think some girl is going to do it for them because she thinks he's something special. That'll last all of 5 minutes. And then reality hits you in the face. Folks, get to know the heart of God. Get to know the heart of God. And mean business with Him. Right? Don't play tiddlywinks in the sandbox. Mean business with him. Get to know his heart. And meaning business with him will be very easy. It's that simple.